Well, good evening, everybody. I hope that you are having a great week, and I hope that you are looking forward to a good time together as we study the Word. So go ahead and take your Bibles and open with me tonight to Zechariah chapter 9. We're going to pick up where we left off last Wednesday night, and tonight we're going to look at verses 9 through 13. Now, chapter 9, verses 9 through 10, I hope are going to be a little familiar to you and are going to remind you of something that we saw not too long ago in the Gospel of Mark. And so let's go ahead and jump into the Word tonight. So Zechariah chapter 9, we're going to pick up in verse 9 tonight. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you double. For I have bent Judah as my bow. I have made Ephraim its arrow. I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword." Let's pray, and then we'll walk through the text together tonight. Lord, we thank you for your grace tonight. We thank you for your mercy that sustains us. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather together tonight virtually and to spend some time going through Zechariah chapter 9. I pray that you would give us wisdom and insight into this text. Help us to see the truth of this text and how we can apply it into our own lives tonight. We love you and we thank you, Lord Jesus. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Zechariah chapter 9, picking up in verse 9, remember verses 1 through 8 of chapter 9, all foretold of a coming conquest. And what we saw is it was all the conquest of Alexander the Great, that Alexander was going to be used by God to judge the nations around Jerusalem, but was going to spare Jerusalem. Well, as we pick up in verse 9, we continue on, and now Zechariah is looking towards another fulfillment of a future prophecy. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem." So there's a reason for rejoicing. There's a reason for celebrating. God is going to do something magnificent, and God is preparing Israel through the prophet Zechariah. Well, here's what God's going to do in verse 9. "Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he." And so they're to rejoice because God is sending them a king, and their king, notice, is coming to them, and the king's characteristics are that he is going to be righteous. He is going to be righteous. He's going to be one who has kept and upholds the law, the Mosaic covenant that God had with the nation of Israel. And so this king is going to be a righteous king, and because he's a righteous king, notice, he is going to bring salvation. He's going to have the ability to save and deliver Israel, and we know that this is talking about Jesus, and he is going to deliver them from their sins. So he's righteous, he has salvation, but notice as well, he is humble and mounted on a donkey. Now that imagery should remind you of how Jesus entered into Jerusalem during the Passover and Passion Week. This is the picture we get of Jesus, remember, riding into Jerusalem during that Palm Sunday, people throwing palm branches and coats and cloaks down in the pathway, and there he is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, fulfilling this specific prophecy. So we know that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. And so he is humble. He's mounted on this donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Well, notice what he's not mounted on. He's not mounted on a war horse. In other words, Israel should have been prepared by God through this prophecy that the Messiah who was to come was not going to be a military force. He was not going to be a king that was to be feared like kings in the past. He wasn't going to resemble Alexander the Great in the first 8 verses of chapter 9. He was going to be a different kind of king. He was going to be a king that was righteous. He was going to be a king that brought salvation. He was going to be a king that was humble, not a king that was prideful and arrogant, not a king that was vicious and dangerous and harmful and hurtful. He was going to be a righteous king, a king that brought salvation, a humble king that was not coming with a war horse, but instead was riding on a donkey. And so the imagery we get is that he's not only righteous, he's not only humble, but he's peaceful. He is a king that is going to bring peace to Israel. And that's exactly what this text will begin to demonstrate. So notice that in verse 10, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, the war horse from Jerusalem, the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. And so what we see is God is going to eliminate all the instruments of war. The chariot, the war horse, the bow, all of those are used to speak of the instruments of war as a whole. God is going to do away with war. Well, that brings us to a pretty obvious answer to one of our questions, which is, when is this prophecy going to be fulfilled? Well, we know that Jesus entering into Jerusalem on a donkey has already happened. It has already been fulfilled. So part of this prophecy was fulfilled. But we also know that Israel and Jerusalem and this world as a whole has certainly never experienced a time of peace. Notice what it says at the end of verse 10. It says that he shall speak peace to the nations, and his rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And so there's coming a time when God is going to bring peace to the nations, not just Jerusalem, but peace to all the nations. And he's going to sovereignly rule over all of the earth, from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. God is going to rule over all things because he is sending a king. Now we know that the king is Jesus because he's the one that entered into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. But we also know that he did not institute peace in his kingdom. At least he has not done so yet. And so this prophecy was partially fulfilled when Jesus first entered in Jerusalem riding on a donkey. But we know that it will ultimately be fulfilled at the second coming of Christ. That is when Jesus will come back and all wars will cease. All military efforts will be obsolete. He will do away with all the instruments of war. Everything will be halted, and he will usher in a time of great peace. He will usher in an eternity of peace for those who dwell within his kingdom. And so notice that as we continue on in verse 11, it says, "As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit," verse 11. So now Zechariah is being spoken to by God, and now God is speaking to the nation of Israel during Zechariah's lifetime. Notice he talks about the covenant in blood that he made with the nation of Israel. This is most likely the Mosaic covenant. He talks about the prisoners who will be set free in verse 11. In verse 12, he talks about those who are going to return. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. And so what Zechariah, or God, is now speaking through the prophet Zechariah to the nation of Israel during his lifetime is that those who were prisoners in Babylon, they have been set free. Those who are still out amongst the nations who have not yet returned to Jerusalem, they are to return back to Jerusalem, their stronghold. Now, their stronghold wasn't Jerusalem in and of itself. We saw Jerusalem during the conquest of Babylon get taken. We certainly know that Jerusalem got destroyed and taken again in AD 70. Jerusalem itself was not the stronghold. The stronghold was God. The stronghold was being where God wanted Israel to be. And that's why God is telling the Israelites during Zechariah's time, they are to return back to Jerusalem. There was a time when he had them led away into captivity, but that time is over. They are now to return back into the covenant relationship that they had with God so that they could dwell near the temple, so that they could uphold the law, uphold the ceremonies, uphold the sacrifices. He wanted them back into Jerusalem, and he wanted them back to finish the building or the rebuilding of the temple. And so he says, "Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope." And he says, "I'm going to restore you double." God was about to bless the nation of Israel. And then he continues on in verse 13. He says, "For I have bent Judah as my bow. I have made Ephraim its arrow. I will set, stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword." Now God is going to bring peace to Jerusalem. He's going to bring peace to the nations as a whole when Christ returns. But notice, he's going to bring peace by conquering all of his enemies. For Israel, during their time period, their enemies were their neighbors, those nations around them that had taken them captive, those nations around them that had taken advantage of them. God was going to bring peace by conquering Israel's enemies. For us today, God brings about peace to the nations by conquering our enemies. And our number one enemy, do not ever forget, our number one enemy is sin. Our number one enemy is the sin that separates us from God. And that's why God sent his son Jesus to come to this earth, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, so that he could conquer our sins. And that is the only way that God brings peace to the nations, by sending Jesus to take away the sin that has infiltrated this earth, has infiltrated this our people, humans, and has caused us to be separated from God for all of eternity. So God has restored us. He's asking us to return back to him, back into a right relationship with him, by trusting his son Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. And so Jesus began this process when he first entered into Jerusalem for the purpose of dying on the cross. Remember, he didn't go to Jerusalem for vacation. He went to Jerusalem with the sole purpose of going to the cross, where he would die for our sins, where he would wage war against sin, death, and the grave. He would come out the other side of the cross victorious, having defeated death and the grave. And then he leaves the earth, leaving his disciples here and us as the New Testament church to continue to make disciples, to spread the good news of the gospel to all the nations. But he promises that one day he will return. And when he returns, he will, what we see in verse 10, he will bring peace to the nations. He will rule sovereignly over all the earth, and he will usher in his eternal kingdom. War will cease because he will have defeated death and the grave, Satan, for all of eternity. The question is, have you entered into that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Remember, for those who have been joining us on Sunday mornings, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark now for a good long time. All the way back in chapter 1, you've heard me say it so much that I hope you're getting tired of me saying it, but I hope you're getting tired of me saying it enough that you remember what it says in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Jesus comes onto the scene. He says, "The kingdom of God is at hand. It is now. Repent and believe." And then a few verses later, he calls the first disciples and tells them to follow me. So how do we enter into the eternal kingdom of God that Jesus came to this earth to establish? We do it by repenting of our sins, by believing in who Jesus is as the Messiah, as the Son of God. We believe in what Jesus did by dying on the cross and defeating death in the grave, by raising from the dead and securing eternal life for us. And then we commit ourselves to him fully and completely by following him in our lives. And if you're listening tonight and you've never made that commitment to God, then I believe that God is speaking to your heart. I believe that God is calling you unto himself. And if you feel God speaking to you, then I want to encourage you again tonight to reach out to us. Leave us a comment. Reach out to us via messenger. We would love to share with you more about how you can give your life to Jesus, how you can become a follower of Jesus Christ. If you've already made that commitment and that decision, that I want you to rejoice tonight. Today is not a day of peace. This world that we live in is certainly not peaceful. There is wars and rumors of wars all around us, but there is a day coming when Christ will return and his eternal kingdom will begin, and we will reign with him. We will be in his eternal kingdom for all of eternity, and that's something that we can celebrate and praise the Lord for tonight. So let's pray, and let's just thank God for what he is going to do. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for what you have done by dying on the cross, by securing our eternal victory and our hope of eternal life. And we thank you for what you're going to do when you return, as you usher in peace in your eternal kingdom, Lord, where we will dwell with you for all of eternity. Lord, we are so grateful for what you've done, and we are looking forward to what you've yet to do. We love you, Lord Jesus. We trust you fully, and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, I also pray for anyone listening tonight or in the days to come, Lord, that does not yet know you as Lord and Savior. I pray that you would speak to them, that you would call them under yourself. And then, Lord, I pray that you give them the courage to reach out and to find out how they can follow you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you're doing. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.